We are here in New Dwarka, home of the most famous, most beautiful deities in the entire three worlds, Sri Sri Rukmini Dwarakadishaki. We are in listening to the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, entitled by Prabhupada as Creation. We're going to finish up verse number one. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. Janmadyasya yatoan bayat itaratas tartesh babigyaswarat. Tene brahma hridaya adikavaye muhyanti yat suraya. Tejo varimradang yata vinimayo yatrat trisago mrisha. Dhamna svena sada nirasta kuhakam satyang parang dimahi. And I would like you to repeat the translation. Is that okay? Please repeat. O my Lord. Sri Krishna, son of Vasudeva, O all-pervading personality of Godhead, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. I meditate upon Lord Sri Krishna, because he is the absolute truth and the primeval cause of all causes of the creation, sustenance, and destruction of the manifested universes. He is directly and indirectly conscious of all manifestations, and he is independent because there is no other cause beyond him. It is he only who first imparted the Vedic knowledge unto the heart of Brahmaji, the original living being. By him, even the great sages and demigods are placed into illusion, as one is bewildered by the illusory representations of water seen in fire, or land seen on water. Only because of him do the material universes, temporarily manifested by the reactions of the three modes of nature, appear factual, although they are unreal. I therefore meditate upon him, Lord Sri Krishna, who is eternally existent in the transcendental abode, which is forever free from the illusory representations of the material world. I meditate upon him, for he is the absolute truth. Okay, so we're going to finish the purport today. Picking up, Prabhupada writes, in the Shruti Mantra it is also stated that the absolute whole, or Brahman, is the ultimate source of everything. Everything emanates from him, and everything is maintained by him. And at the end, everything enters into him. That is the law of nature. In the Smriti Mantra, the same is confirmed. It is said that the source from which everything emanates at the beginning of Brahma's millennium, and the reservoir to which everything ultimately enters, is the absolute truth, or Brahman. Material scientists take it for granted that the ultimate source of the planetary system is the sun. but they are unable to explain the source of the sun. Herein, the ultimate source is explained. According to the Vedic literatures, Brahma, who may be compared to the sun, is not the ultimate creator. It is stated in this shloka that Brahma was taught Vedic knowledge by the personality of Godhead. One may argue that Brahma, being the original living being, could not be inspired because there was no other being living at that time. Herein it is stated that the Supreme Lord inspired the secondary creator, Brahma, in order that Brahma could carry out his creative functions. So, the supreme intelligence behind all creations is the absolute Godhead, Sri Krishna. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Sri Krishna states that it is he only who superintends the creative energy, Prakriti, which constitutes the totality of matter. Therefore, Sri Vyasadeva does not worship Brahma, but the Supreme Lord who guides Brahma in his creative activities. In this shloka, the particular words abhigya and swarat are significant. These two words distinguish the Supreme Lord from all the other living entities. No other living entity is either abhigya or swarat. That is, no one is either fully cognizant or fully independent. Even Brahma has to meditate upon the Supreme Lord in order to create. Then what to speak of great scientists like Einstein? The brains of such a scientist are certainly not the products of any human being. Scientists cannot manufacture such a brain. And what to speak of the foolish atheists who defy the authority of the Lord? Even Mayavadi impersonalists who flatter themselves that they can become one with the Lord are neither abhigya nor swarat. Such impersonalists undergo severe austerities to acquire knowledge to become one with the Lord. But ultimately they become dependent on some rich disciple who supplies them with money to build monasteries and temples. Atheists like Ravana or Hiranyakashipu had to undergo severe penances before they could flout the authority of the Lord. But ultimately, they were rendered helpless and could not save themselves when the Lord appeared before them as cruel death. This is also the case with the modern atheists who also dare to flout the authority of the Lord. Such atheists will be dealt with similarly, for history repeats itself. Whenever men neglect the authority of the Lord, nature and her laws are there to penalize them. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita in the well-known verse, Yada Yada Hi Dharmasya Glani. Whenever there is a decline of Dharma and a rise of Adharma, O Arjuna, then I incarnate myself. That the Supreme Lord is all perfect is confirmed in all Shruti mantras. It is said in the Shruti mantras that the all-perfect Lord threw a glance over matter and thus created all living beings. The living beings are parts and parcels of the Lord, and he impregnates the vast material creation with seeds of spiritual sparks. And thus the creative energies are set in motion to enact so many wonderful creations. An atheist may argue that God is no more expert than a watchmaker. But of course, God is greater because he can create machines in duplicate male and female forms. The male and female forms of different types of machineries go on producing innumerable similar machines without God's further attention. If a man could manufacture such a set of machines that could produce other machines without his attention, then he would approach the intelligence of God. But that is not possible, for each machine has to be handled individually. Therefore, no one can create as well as God. Another name for God is Asam Maudva, which means that no one is equal to or greater than him. Parang Satyam, or the Supreme Truth, is he who has no equal or superior. This is confirmed in the Shruti Mantras. It is said that before the creation of the material universe, there existed the Lord only, who is master of everyone. That Lord instructed Brahma in Vedic knowledge. That Lord has to be obeyed in all respects. Anyone who wants to get rid of the material entanglement must surrender unto him. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Unless one surrenders unto the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, it is certain that he will be bewildered. When an intelligent man surrenders unto the lotus feet of Krishna and knows completely that Krishna is the cause of all causes, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, then only can such an intelligent man become a Mahatma, or great soul. But such a great soul is rarely seen. Only the Mahatmas can understand that the Supreme Lord is the primeval cause of all creations. He is Parama, or ultimate truth, because all other truths are relative to him. He is omniscient. For him, there is no illusion. Some Mayavadi scholars argue that Srimad Bhagavatam was not compiled by Sri Vyasadeva, and some of them suggest that this book is a modern creation by someone named Vopadeva. In order to refute such meaningless arguments, Sri Sridhar Swami points out that there is reference to the Bhagavatam in many of the oldest Puranas. The first sloka of the Bhagavatam begins with the Gayatri Mantra. There is reference to this in the Matsya Purana, which is the oldest Purana. In that Purana, it is said, with reference to the Gayatri Mantra in the Bhagavatam, that there are many narrations of spiritual instructions beginning with the Gayatri Mantra. And there is the history of Vritrasura. Anyone who makes a gift of this great work on a full moon day attains to the highest perfection of life by returning to Godhead. There is reference to the Bhagavatam in other Puranas also, where it is clearly stated that this work was finished in 12 cantos, which include 18,000 shlokas. In the Padma Purana also, there is reference to the Bhagavatam in a conversation between Gautama and Maharaj Ambarish. The king was advised therein to read regularly Srimad Bhagavatam if he desired liberation from material bondage. Under the circumstances, there is no doubt about the authority of the Bhagavatam. Within the past 500 years, many erudite scholars and acharyas, like Jiva Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Vishwanath Chakravarti, Vallabhacharya, and many other distinguished scholars, even after the time of Lord Chaitanya, made elaborate commentaries on the Bhagavatam. And the serious student would do well to attempt to go through them to better relish the transcendental messages. Srila Bishwanath Chakravarti Thakur specifically deals with the original and pure sex psychology, Adi Rus, devoid of all mundane inebriety. The whole material creation is moving under the principle of sex life, and that is italicized in the book. In modern civilization, sex life is the focal point for all activities. Wherever one turns his face, he sees sex life predominant. Therefore, sex life is not unreal. Its reality is experienced in the spiritual world. The material sex life is but a perverted reflection of the original fact. The original fact is the absolute truth, and thus the absolute truth cannot be impersonal. It is not possible to be impersonal and contain pure sex life. Consequently, the impersonalist philosophers have given indirect impetus to the abominable mundane sex life because they have overstressed the impersonality of the ultimate truth. Consequently, man, without information of the actual spiritual form of sex, has accepted perverted material sex life as the all in all. There is a distinction between sex life in the diseased material condition and spiritual sex life. This Srimad Bhagavatam will gradually elevate the unbiased reader to the highest perfectional stage of transcendence. It will enable him to transcend the three modes of material activities, fruitive actions, speculative philosophy, and worship of functional deities as inculcated in Vedic verses. Thus ends Prabhupada's outstanding purport to the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. Trinadapi sunichena tarariva sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari hare nama ivakibalam talo nasyeva 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 gatir anyata. So I'd like to read to you how this first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam is depicted in the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So, some of this is Prabhupada's purport. Some of this is Lord Chaitanya himself speaking. So, please try to hear. So, the first is an excerpt from a purport. From Sridhar Swami's Bhavartha Deepika commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, first chapter, first verse. Mukam karoti vachalang pangung lang hayate girim yat kripatamahang vande paramananda madhavam. So, this excerpt is when Lord Chaitanya is traveling through the Jarikanda forest, and Lord Chaitanya is thanking Balabhadra Bhattacharya for making the journey successful. So Balabhadra Bhattacharya replied to Lord Chaitanya, quoting this verse, "The Supreme Personality of Godhead has the form of Sachit Ananda Vigraha, transcendental bliss, knowledge, and eternity. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him, who turns the dumb into eloquent speakers and enables the lame to cross mountains. Such is the mercy of the Lord. And I'd have to say, definitely in my case, who turns the dumb into, I don't know if I'm eloquent, but I'm definitely dumb. So, for us, everything that we do, say, think, everything is happening because Prabhupada has blessed this movement. We must never, never forget, and please, new generation, second, third, fourth generation, please, I beg you, keep Prabhupada in the center and focal point of this movement. Please. Because I'm going to have to take birth again in ISKCON. And I don't want to come back into some foreign movement. I want to grow up in some Hare Krishna temple that still has Prabhupada as founder acharya. So I beg, keep Prabhupada as the founder acharya, central source of authority. Okay, that was a commercial. So now, Lord Chaitanya in the Madhya Lila, when he's instructing Sanatan Goswami, he also gives a little purport on this first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. My intention yesterday, when I was preparing, was to just emphasize everything is here in Prabhupada's books. And I remember as Bhakta Nick, I was told, Prabhupada said everything is in the first canto. And I still haven't forgot that. And when I was Bhakta Nick on Henry Street, I asked the temple president, Gopi Janla Vallabhadas, I said, you're the temple president. How did you get to be so advanced? He goes, I'm not advanced. I've just been here longer than you. And I liked that humility. Those of you who knew Gopi Janla Vallabha, he was a very humble temple president and devotee. Very, very humble. Okay, so Lord Chaitanya is instructing Sanatan Goswami. In the auspicious invocation at the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Vyasadeva has described the Supreme Personality of Godhead by those symptoms. In this invocation, the word Param indicates Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the word Satyam indicates Krishna's personal characteristics. In that same verse, it is stated that Krishna is creator, maintainer, and annihilator of the cosmic manifestation, and that Krishna enabled Lord Brahma to create the universe by infusing him with the knowledge of the Vedas. It is also stated that Krishna has full knowledge, directly and indirectly, that Krishna knows past, present, and future, and that Krishna's personal energy is separate from Maya. So that's the spiritual energy. Separate from Maya, which is the illusory energy. All these activities are Krishna's marginal characteristics. Great saintly persons understand the incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead by the indication of the two characteristics known as Swarup and Tatastha. All the incarnations of Krishna should be understood in this way. Now, we will hear some Prabhupada purport to what Lord Chaitanya just said. The verse, first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, links Srimad Bhagavatam with the Vedanta Sutra, with the words Janmad Yasya Yata. It is stated that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, can everyone say? Very good. Is the absolute truth beyond the material creation? This has been accepted by all acharyas. Even Shankara Acharya, the most elevated impersonalist, says in the beginning of his commentary on Bhagavad Gita, Narayana Paro Vyaktat. When this material creation is not yet manifested from the Mahat-tattva, it is called Avyakta. And when it is demonstrated from that total energy, it is called Vyakta. Narayan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is beyond this Vyakta and Avyakta, manifested and unmanifested material nature. This is the chief qualification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead when Krishna assumes a particular incarnation. Krishna tells Arjuna that although they both took many births, they took birth many, many times before, Krishna remembers everything about his previous appearances, but Arjuna does not remember. Since Krishna is beyond the cosmic creation, Krishna is in the exalted position of being able to remember everything in the past. Everything within the cosmic creation has a material body, but Krishna, being beyond the material cosmic creation, always has a spiritual body. Krishna imparted Vedic knowledge into the heart of Brahma. At the time of their appearance, the incarnations of the Lord are known in the world because people can consult the Shastras to understand an incarnation's chief characteristics known as Swarup and Tatastha. In this way, the incarnations become known to great saintly persons. The Lord does not have a material body. Yet Krishna descends among human beings in his transcendental body as an incarnation. Therefore, it is very difficult for us to understand who is an incarnation. Only by his extraordinary prowess and uncommon activities, which are impossible for embodied living entities, can one partially understand the incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By two symptoms, personal characteristics and marginal characteristics, great sages can understand an object. Bodily features, name and form are the personal characteristics. Knowledge of his activities provides the marginal characteristics. By hearing Srila Prabhupada's purport, the atmosphere becomes cleansed. Right now, throughout the material world, the atmosphere is so polluted. You can't now even rely on news reports. You can't believe what you read because now there's so much disinformation. We don't know what's real or fake anymore. It is a deplorable situation. Welcome to the next version of Kali Yuga. We are living in times of great concern. It's possible we could have a nuclear war this year. It's possible. First of its kind. So, what to do? Can we do anything? No. We can only do one thing. And there's only one thing we should do. Keep preaching. That's the only thing, and of course, chanting. Because you can't preach if you don't chant. So, chanting and preaching, this is the only way. If we have learned anything in the 50 years of this movement, is that chanting and preaching Hare Nama Eva Kevalam. Now, especially for those of us who distribute books, please take this very, very seriously. You have no idea who this person you're giving a book to, where that person is going to wind up, and where that book is going to wind up. Your book, that one book that you distribute, might just save this planet. So this book distribution is the most important activity in the world, especially today. I know from personal example how reading Prabhupada's books changed direction of my life. I was going one way, actually I was going this way. Deeper and deeper into hell. I was on that track. I was getting more and more sinful, demoniac, day by day. But reading teachings of Prahlad Maharaj and reading Krishna book, 180 degree turn. So, the world is turning, things are happening. Seems like Kali Yuga is on a fast train. It just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. Each day, you hear things. Oh my God, what? And it's only getting worse. The only solution, Hare Nama Eva Kevalam. And I remember when I was still coming to the temple, I remember I was on the subway and there was this Rolling Stone magazine. So I picked it up and there was a story there about the musician Paul Simon, that it said in the article that he had to meet the president of Columbia Records and he put on the table Krishna book. Like I'm saying, you don't know. And I remember many years ago, Hari Shari, there was a bunch of us, Prabhupada disciples, we were somewhere here having prasadam. And my mind was blown like a chickpea hit by a baseball bat. Because he was telling everyone how the great Ted Turner, was he the founder of CNN and the Turner Broadcast, that he had many of Prabhupada's books. Huh? Yes. We don't know where these books are going. It may look like you're giving it some insignificant Joe Schmo. But these books, they are not ordinary books. That's another thing. We must keep Prabhupada's books as the basics. Books are the basics. So I like to add, Prabhupada's books are the basics. Yes, everybody's now writing. That's okay. I have my songs. Okay. But it does not replace the books. And you've heard me say for the past 20 years, 4 major books is sufficient. That's not my words. It's in the book. The book itself says 4 works are sufficient. Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Nectar of Devotion, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya or Chaitanya Charitamrita, whichever you like. These books, and I remember when I was Narantara Das Brahmachari in the Henry Street Temple, I was very fortunate. I stayed in a room. There was four of us. I was allowed to stay with the two good singers, Santosh and Jai Sachi Nandan. And then all of a sudden, one day, this Brahmachari came. And he had been with Prabhupada, Harikesh Das Brahmachari. And he had all these stories, and he was staying with us, four people in a little room. And every day I would hear these fantastic stories about Prabhupada. And by him describing Prabhupada, I became so fixed up. And I remember he told me, he said, "You learn these books like the lawyer knows the law books." And I've tried to do that. I've tried to do that, and I will continue to try to do that. I must know what's in Bhagavad Gita, what's in Srimad Bhagavatam, what's in Chaitanya Charitamrita, what's in Nectar. I have to read these books over and 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 over, and over again. Beautiful books. And we're so fortunate that we live in this temple which has books as the basis. Prabhupada's books as the basis. Okay. I've said enough. Any questions, comments, criticisms, chastisements? Yes. Go ahead. Yes. Approach, yeah.
In the next line, I believe Prabhupada says however, the scientist cannot do that because every machine needs individual attention.
Mm-hmm.
I was just thinking that even the individual machines, our bodies, of the living beings which are created by God, also kind of need individual attention from God, like, you know, as Paramatma present in the heart.
Yes.
He has to in many ways, like he has to oversee and make sure things happen.
Yes, he's the maintainer. He's the maintainer, yes. And the soul is simply a cooperator. So you're spot on. We need the maintainer. If there was no Vishnu maintaining, this place would be gone within 5 minutes. You're right. Good point.
Well, the question is just that, you know, like someone could argue probably that that just as the scientist needs to give constant attention to all the machines that he creates, similarly God also has to...
Yes, but God expands himself. It's not that he's doing every... No, look, Krishna's on the altar. Krishna right now is in Goloka Vrindavan. God, a man can't do that, right? Yes, God can do that, but he expands himself. So that's difference. He can, just like you or one of the book distributors... If the book distributor could expand himself, one, he could stay back, study all day, and then his expansion could go out and distribute books. So Krishna is cool. This is why I love Krishna. He's cool. That, okay, if something needs to be done, okay, boom. And then Krishna goes and is dancing with the gopis and wrestling with the cowherd boys. Yes, he has so many expansions to do. No man can do that. And then there's also the yogis can go up to 8-9 times, right? But that yogi, each one is doing the same thing. not Krishna. When Narada went to see Krishna in Dwarka, Krishna was riding horses, playing chess, getting his children married, eating, dealing with it. Every Krishna was doing something else. Yeah. When man can do that, then he's approaching. Don't hold your breath. That's not going to be happening. What else? Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you very much for the wonderful class. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada, he was saying that sex life in this material world is a perverted reflection of sex life in the spiritual world. So what is that sex life in the spiritual world?
I would like to answer this question offline. I feel it may be disturbing to some ears. So after class, I'll be happy to share with you my understanding. Yes, Architadath?
Yeah, Prabhupada deals with it directly. He doesn't avoid this topic. He said, just like in today's purport, he said, there's no inebriety. So he explains in other places what that inebriety is. There's no abortion. There's no pregnancy. So there's no abortion required. You see? Here, because we're dealing with things illicitly, then there's unwanted pregnancy and then there's abortion. In the original spiritual Adirasa sex life, there is no abortion, there is no pregnancy. Prabhupada states that clearly in his books. He also says in the third canto that in Vaikuntha there is no sex life. See? So both things are there. In the Vaikuntha realm, there is no sex life. In the Goloka realm, there is that original sex impetus, but there is no inebriety, meaning, again, there's no pregnancy, there's no abortion, nothing like that. Everything is completely pure. So if you read Prabhupada's books, as he's stressing, all these questions are answered.
Okay, anything else? Have a great day preaching Krishna consciousness.